It just doesn't feel like summer without an ice-cold Coca-Cola in your hand. Stop by your local convenience store today and grab a 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Or pick up even more delicious refreshment with a 20-ounce bottle of Diet Coke, Sprite, or Fanta. So no matter how you soak in that summer sun, at home or on the go, grab an ice-cold Coca-Cola today and enjoy.
Over 500 miles of asphalt and brick. Our chests will rumble with the voices of engines and exultation of racing's greatest spectacle.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Back home again in Indiana.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, scene of the world's greatest race cars, welcome to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
And it's a new track record.
Comes Mario Andretti going for the lead. Andretti has the lead again.
Jenny Guthrie is the first woman in Indianapolis who's holding her own at the moment.
A.J. Foyt leads the Indianapolis 500. This could be one of the most memorable Indianapolis 500s of all.
And history is matched as the twin checkered flags come out for our second four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500, Al Unser.
Ribs down, nothing can go wrong now. He can coast into Indy 500 history. The checkered flag falls, Ribs has made it.
Rick Mears is flying right now, looking for number four. It's about a 15-car length advantage.
The checkered flag is out. Goodyear makes a move. Little Al wins by just a few tenths of a second.
Danica Patrick is for real, and she leads.
Open the door to the three-time winners club. There's a brand new member, and his name is Elio Castro Neves.
The wait is over. Welcome to Indianapolis.
How about that? On the eve of the beginning of official preparations for the 104th Indianapolis 500, welcome to Trackside 93.5, 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. I'm Kevin Lee. Brad Huber is in our downtown Indianapolis studios on the Circle. Kurt Cavan is with us. That open was produced by our friends at Innovative, a production company, ad agency, creative house here in Indianapolis. One of my bosses, our producer at NBC, Terry Lingner, is a partner there. And Conrad Piccirillo, who has directed the Indianapolis 500 for ABC before. And Eric Maloney edited the audio for that for our purposes. And that's, if you're downtown on Monument Circle, some might remember, when would this have been? Last fall, over the early stages of the winter, I hosted an event on Monument Circle that they do every night for Shining a Light Indy that is focused towards veterans and other areas, and they do some different presentations for different holidays, and Innovative creates that shows for the 4th of July and Veterans Day and for the 500 as well. So you may hear that, led by Bob Jenkins and so many other familiar voices, if you're downtown over the next couple of weeks. So, good way to get started. Kurt, there were some clips there that I haven't heard, if not ever, certainly not for a long, long time.
Well, I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, actually, and you know how much time I spend with YouTube videos and radio playbacks and so forth. So, yeah, to hear new things every once in a while is kind of puts a smile on your face.
So that was good. I remember when Terry started to put this together, I assume that's what it was for. He asked me for some audio clips and some direction many, many months ago, and he went way beyond what I found for him and found some unique things. So I'm putting that one in the archives that will air every once in a while. So a good way to start the show tonight for an Indy 500 race month like none before. So we have options. And maybe this is the therapist portion of the program. We have options about how we're feeling and how we're approaching the next week and a half or so. You can choose to be bitter and angry and simply avoid everything. And if that's the case, you're probably not listening to this show anyway. Or you can try to make the best of it and feel some joy that one of the things that you enjoy will at least be on your television. College football fans might be envious of that option at this point. Now, that does not mean you're not going to feel a little bit empty. It is going to be strange for so many, and I feel for everyone. I really feel also for the people that are accustomed to going to the race and make money off of that. They're all. I'm in the lucky group this time. I've been parked all season, but I at least am going to be able to go to the event and do my job. But there are a lot of other people that, let's face it, they're not doing that job just because it's a way to earn money. Almost everyone associated with motorsports is in that works in motorsports is in it because they love it. So they, yes, they like getting paid, but they also like being part of the events as well. And I really feel for those people significantly. In some ways, maybe it is best from a fan perspective that if everyone couldn't come, no one can, and we just cross this off and all streaks are intact and we move on. And Kurt, I'll let you jump in here. And people have heard my comments on why the race needed to happen, no matter how painful it was that some wouldn't be able to be there. I saw a couple of good articles quoting people a lot closer to it than I am of why it had to happen over the weekend from Nathan Brown and Robin Miller.
Yeah, it just had to happen. I mean, there was too many, paybacks that would have had to be made mostly by teams. In some cases, the Penske Entertainment, but largely teams were going to have to reimburse or pay back some money that it received from sponsors and partners and so forth. But ultimately, I think, even beyond the financial situation, I think it's still very much a psychological box checking for a lot of people in the sport. And, I've been a little bit caught up in my job to know really how I feel about an Indy 500 without any fans. I mean, I will do most of my job, and I have done most of my job over the years, contained in the media center. I mean, I will interview people and certainly talk to competitors and team owners and so forth. But I spend a lot of time in the media center, and from that media center view, the next couple of weeks won't really be that much different. As I look out, True. There will be days when in the normal month of May, when there's not a lot of people there, where it's going to be different for me. And this largely is personal, but as I walk through Pagoda Plaza and as I walk to the gasoline alley, it is seeing faces, seeing people I know, seeing people I haven't seen since last year's race, seeing people I don't know, but they know me through this radio show. So there are just so many people that are part of this event that aren't competitors, they're not sponsors. They're the backbone of this sport and the backbone of this event. And so I think that's when it'll strike me. I mean, when the cars roll out tomorrow, that's going to be like a lot of days at the Speedway when there aren't a lot of people there. It does happen. But you get to Fast Friday, you get to qualifying, you get to Carb Day, and certainly the race. not seeing the friends that you've made over the years is really the difficult part. I expect it to be the difficult part for me.
I think everything will be fairly normal until we get to race morning. Let's face it, practice days sometimes have maybe in the hundreds, if you're talking about people that aren't doing something there, probably more like in the thousands. You're talking a few thousand people each day, but there's a lot of blank aluminum. So it's not going to look all that different. And there will be things happening on track, and we'll focus on the on-track activity. And even for qualifying days, you see a lot of empty grandstands. But race day, so much of what makes this special is the mass amount of people and the mass amount of people on the grid lining both sides of the track and everything that goes along with it leading up until race time. I think that's going to be difficult, feel strange. Once we get a green flag, it's still going to look odd, but it will feel pretty similar. It's that race day that we're going to have to work at, and that's going to be the most difficult of it. Otherwise, again, it's just making the best of it right now. Better than the alternative, I think.
Well, and I don't know where you, as part of the NBC broadcast, will be able to roam to do your job, but largely, almost exclusively, people are going to be kept out of Gasoline Alley. Pit Road is going to be minimal. So, you know, those are going to be areas that a lot of people, even who are at the event, are going to feel distanced. You know, at the IndyCar races this season, media, for example, really just essential personnel have been allowed in the garage area. So, you know, even doing your job is going to feel different this year. Forget the spacing, forget the mics held at 6 feet, et cetera. But just being able to go into Gasoline Alley, to go into garages, to gather tidbits is going to be a challenge. And I think we're all going to feel it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to focus too much on that because that's minutia for our jobs. I'm thinking more of the big picture of thing. A practice day is unless you went to every single practice day, if you watch on NBC Gold tomorrow or get updates here on the radio or read the accounts at IndyCar.com or IndyStar.com or anywhere else, you know, it's going to be kind of like a normal day, and it's the best that we have at this point. You know, I think one thing, and not to preach to everyone, but Bree Rents, who does public relations for Ed Carpenter Racing, posted something that, you know, I think a lot of us within the industry and maybe hardcore fans feel, and I retweeted this a little while ago. She said, "We're all mad about no spectators. Channel that anger into support. Our sport needs it. The race you love needs it. Thank sponsors. Buy merchandise. Have your TV on every time there's a car on track. Post positive things. Promote that you love what you love instead of bashing what you hate." And it's kind of along the line of what I was talking about a few days ago. We can't change what's been decided. It doesn't help to be angry at one side. And I'm not sure I'm super happy with either side on this battle. And I have, since I'm going to be busy trying to keep up with Twitter, I went through today and started muting everyone that put the political post on either side. I don't have time for that right now. So that's not going to be part of my life for the next couple of weeks, but that is the only thing that we can do if you choose to do that, because it's still going to be a struggle commercially for every team to give as much value as they can to their sponsors and their partners. And I said this the other day, I don't know, but I am fearful of what ratings will look like amidst all of this competition, and the weather's still pretty good. And, you know, I saw the recent NASCAR ratings out from the past weekend going up against the NBA and a major golf championship and the NHL and baseball, and they're record low. And I'm hoping that we can turn the tide of that and at least get them somewhat flat to provide some value for the people that are getting exposure on television. And maybe it helps that, you know, NBC is going all out. Instead of championship season, I forget what they're labeling it, but something like, you know, the Indy 500 kicks off their big event season, you know, and it includes the Kentucky Derby and the Stanley Cup playoff and other things involved in that. So I'm hopeful. You know, and keep in mind, you're going head-to-head with NASCAR on the same day. Yes, on cable, but there's an Xfinity race followed by a cup race, so that's going to take away some things. But well, we need every eyeball we can get right now.
Well, you know, we talk a lot on this show about date equity, and I think that will come into play because, the hardcore fans are accustomed to the changes that have been made to the Indy 500 schedule. They, you know, they're aware of it. They know it's August 23rd, and shoot, I may retweet or tweet, you know, every day between now and the race that the race is August 23rd. But, you know, there's a lot of people who, when they wake up on the morning of the 23rd, are not thinking, oh, this is when I usually listen to the Indy 500 like they do on Sunday of Memorial Day weekend.
Exactly.
So that's part of it. And I think the part that has given me some peace, and yes, I will be at the event. So, I understand some people might think that what I say here rings hollow, but you know, there are a lot of things. You mentioned college football. I mean, there's a lot of events that have just been scrapped for 2020. At least this one's in play. I mean, baseball may not finish. Football, the NFL may not finish. The basketball season's about the only one. The NBA is the only one that's kind of been able to do it, and they've done it the way essentially.
And hockey, too. Hockey's been going great.
And, you know, but even the Indy 500 will at least be held in the venue that it was supposed to be. Basketball games aren't. You know, that's one of the challenges I have with the NBA is I want to see the Boston Garden. I want to see, all the arenas that around the league that I find, you know, enjoyable to watch. This at least is the arena that IndyCars and the Indy 500 is known for. And while it will look different, at least they're playing.
By the way, our coverage tomorrow on NBC Gold, the digital channel, I did see they have another discount out there if you're interested. The price has dropped down a little bit. It'll be me in the booth along with Townsend Bell and Dylan Welch on Pit Road for Wednesday and Thursday. And then our entire group will get there on Friday, and Diff and Townsend and Paul will be in the booth. I'll probably give Diff a break at some point, and then Marty and Kelly and I will be on Pit Road throughout the weekend and may see other names, and I'll let NBC make that announcement when they're ready to make that announcement for the rest of our coverage plans throughout the next week and a half or so. But as I really started to work hard on my notes the last couple of days, it's getting me more and more excited. And I hope that the frustration and the disappointment that everyone has, and again, it's understandable. I totally get that, but my only advice would be try to find something good of this and take some solace in that, hey, they're going to be doing, and I'm not missing anything that anyone else is getting because no one is allowed to come, and they're going to be doing the thing that I enjoy so much, and it's still going to be someone winning the Indianapolis 500 and their life changing forever. Check out my Twitter at KevinLee23. I don't know who produced this. I guess NBC did. It was on the IndyCar and NBC Twitter page. They just had a camera on, and it started with Rick Mears, and were simply playing him the cut. In some cases, it was the television audio. In some cases, it was the IMS radio audio. And just watching them, don't speak, you don't need to answer a question, but just watch their reaction for something that I'm sure they've seen hundreds of times. And no matter how many times they've seen it, you could still see the emotion. And that's what this race means. And that's why we love it, even if we can't go to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think about the 33 combinations that we're going to see and all the people that, you know, are behind the scenes who get this sport ready to go and how excited they must be. So I'm going to channel my excitement for them and the drivers and hope everybody has a safe race. And, you know, this time we're talking about a safe race, not talking about whether they catch a virus. We're talking about actual safety. So I'm ready. I'm excited. Tomorrow I get started. And I think if we're watching on our screens, it'll feel pretty normal for most of the month.
We'll get to the on track in just a second. A couple of nuggets I wanted to mention. Lamar has also followed and confirmed over the last couple of days that they will not have spectators. That event is September 19th and 20th. And that's another one. Same thing. They've got to pound that in when that's going to be. That reminds me too. I know I sent you this text a week or so ago. You know, I'm hoping NBC is hitting it hard next week on the Today Show to hammer home August 23rd, 2:30, 1 o'clock pre-race. The sets they have at the airport with people coming by. I'd love to see a big banner there. August 23rd, 1 p.m. on NBC. We need to hammer that home to the people that are the casual viewers. Because let's face it, the average network race draws about a million or so people, and the Indy 500 draws, what, 5 million plus. That means 80% of your audience is not typically watching your races. 80% are not normally paying attention, and that's what makes me a little bit fearful about the date change. So we need to work hard at this and making sure we spread the word for that. The thing I wanted to mention, too, about Le Mans, which I was pleased to see, it looks like it has a television home in the U.S. this year. I read an article today that said ESPN2 at 8:30 on Saturday morning, the 19th. I don't imagine they'll cover all 24 hours, but maybe they will on their digital channels and have some over the air. The Hoosier 100, Kurt, is back on Sunday night, the 23rd, after the 500 at the fairgrounds with champ cars of the USAC Silver Crown Series. So some will ask, well, why can they have fans in the Indy 500? That one's going to fly under the radar a little more than the Indy 500 was. But they want to be careful. And, you know, every venue, I'm sure the Speedrome was really happy having a big crowd. And I also understand that pictures don't always tell the story. You can shoot a shot from the side that makes it look more crowded than it really is. But those social media pictures that went out of a packed place, what appeared to be at the Speedrome, my guess is they're not allowed to have a packed place anymore. And every racing event I've been to that Jackson has been racing in, everyone there has gone above and beyond that you cannot gather together, whether you agree with it or not. The authorities have said, hey, the only answer we have right now is wearing masks. So if there's going to be a picture, everybody has to be wearing a mask or they will potentially shut us down. And that's what might happen from that. So I don't mean to move on to that topic, but that's kind of, people are asking, how is that happening? That's kind of how that's happening at this point. But I'm glad to see that that event is revived and has a chance to go on this year. Field of 33 is now set. We got word on Saturday of our 33rd entrant, Kurt.
Yeah, it's hard to remember which one's 31, 32, and 33, but we do have J.R. Hildebrand confirmed for the second car for Dreyon Reimbold, which we've discussed. James Davison in the third Dale Coyne entry, and it's got a long list of backers on that one. Let's see. Dale Coyne with Rick Ware Racing, Bird, and Bellardi. And it wasn't in recent days, Dragon Speed confirming Ben Hanley, who had a great qualifying effort last year to make the show. So, if I'm missing which one was another 33rd or 31st, well, or 32nd, I'm sorry, but those are the recent ones that have been driver confirmed.
Dragon Speed is the one I was thinking of. That was the 33rd, but technically you're right. The J.R. Hildebrand announcement wasn't until the day after the entry list came out. So how's that one for you? The entry list was released yesterday, and the press release came out today for the Salesforce Dreyer and Reinbold Racing entry, a new number again for JR, 67. My thought on this was, remember, he was 48 last year after Fernando took his 66, and I think he was just trying to be preemptive because he knows at some point Jimmy Johnson is going to take that 48 from him, if not for the 500, for other events. So let's go ahead and switch it now and move on to 67. But the Dragon Speed one, and that was the one where, you know, we didn't know where that 33rd was going to come from. And it was in great peril, and my honest assessment is, you know, what I said before is this was a race between those two or three teams who could get the closest to the needed budgets, take that number to IndyCar and the Speedway and say, can you make it up? And whoever needed the least amount of money was going to get the call. And even James Davison alluded to that when we talked to him on Friday night, that, you know, I don't know where it came from, but we're happy it did. But Dragon Speed, I think, was probably planning on moving on. If you've seen any of the social media pictures from the Top Gun team that was trying to put something together, well, they posted pictures of RC Enerson in a car. And if you look closely, it's the Dragon Speed car Now, maybe they had two and it was a backup. That's very possible that it's a backup car, but they were in talks to buy that car until they said they found out that there were going to be no fans, and then the purse was cut in half, and obviously makes it much more difficult financially to do it at this point. But Dragon Speed was a great story last year, how they made the race and didn't even have to sweat out the last row shootout. So I'm happy they're going to be involved. And obviously very sad for all of those that aren't going to be involved, like the Pippa Manns and Oriel Servias and Stefan Wilsons, just to name a few that have put in a lot of hard work and have had great accomplishments and great stories in the past here. Unfortunately, this is not going to be the year for them. So we'll hope for better things for them in the future. And bumping is great, but this isn't the year to really focus on that. And just my opinion, I don't get super excited about seeing just one go home. I kind of want to see more than one, and I don't want to see someone financially destroyed because they put it all on making the race and they don't make the race. So many other things to get into, including your Twitter questions and comments at Kevin Lee 23. We've got scheduling rumors out there as we look ahead. Formula One in Indianapolis. We'll get into that and plenty more coming up. Trackside 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
I'm Tony Kanaan, and this is Trackside with Kurt Covin and Kevin Lee on 1070 The Fan.
Let's start with Twitter questions and try to catch up there at Kevin Lee 23, and then we'll circle back to some of the news of the day and then start to get into what we think might happen on track, because that starts tomorrow with a lot of unknowns. No testing ahead of time. Yes, they've raced at Texas. Yes, it's the same car, but it's a little bit different with the aero screen coming in this year. So it's going to have different characteristics. That is, I think, going to be fascinating to play out over the next few days. At Kevin Lee 23, Eric Schwarzkopf at ImageWorks Picks says the amount of complaining, it's a family show, about everything revolving around the 500, NBC, etc., is just ridiculous. Hey, I understand. We've got a vent here at some point. But at some point, you two, I think it's probably best to kind of circle back and try to find something positive. Andy at Merrick Speed says, your point about race time emotions is so true for me in the 500, top of show audio. I was normal until I heard Cornelissen, and then I got emotional thinking we're not going to experience it the same way this year. But the 500 is the 500, though, the comfort of horsepower. Ben Neal says, would like to know what you guys think about the Hoosier 100 running with fans on the night of the 500. So happy as a USAC fan, but so confused as an IndyCar fan. So, yeah, I think that was one of the reasons why I opined a little bit on that. So if you missed that, just listen to the end of the first segment on the podcast. I offered some thoughts on how maybe that goes under the radar a little bit. Now, the risk that they are taking with that event is with fans, there's always the chance that it gets shut down moving forward. But I also understand that's probably an event that just can't happen. It doesn't have a television contract, so it's either going to have fans or it's not going to happen at all. But with all of these things, anything happening now that's public, I don't feel 100% certain it's going to happen until I'm actually there and watching it happen. And unfortunately, that's kind of the case for something like that, depending on what health officials are saying. Alex Kane, 33, says Scott Gauger is the best example of a guy who works in IndyCar because he loves it and doesn't care if he gets paid, and tags Meyer Shank Racing. Yeah, that applies to an awful lot of people that work in the paddock, that they're there because they love it and they work long, hard hours in many cases. Ricky Fratt says, when is the pace car reveal? We have an answer now, Kurt.
I do.
And I thought it had already been revealed. I thought it was already out there like several months ago, but apparently not.
Yeah, you're going to find out tomorrow morning as if you thought a manufacturer might be a surprise. I don't think you'll be surprised, but they'll announce the car, show off the car, and I think even talk about the driver of the car tomorrow morning.
Okay, 10 o'clock is when that will happen, so we'll be able to detail that if you don't see it on other media outlets, and I'm sure there will be clips on social media in the morning. But we'll talk about that on NBC Gold tomorrow after 11 o'clock. I think I've seen pictures of a Camaro. Maybe that's just kind of an end around, but you know, we know it's going to be a GM or a Chevy property tomorrow, so we'll get the official word on that. Greg Kiley.
We do have, by the way.
Yeah.
I was going to say we do have a special person to wave the green flag to start practice tomorrow. So that'll be something to look forward to. Yep.
But you can't say who it is yet?
No, it's not my place to say, but I did write a story about it. And so I'm fairly confident in my information.
Well, make sure you get that to me before we go on the air at 11 o'clock. I want to know that tomorrow morning because I don't know at this point. So that's something that I'll probably need to know. Greg Kiley says, do you know if fans would be able to watch a live stream of practice since fans aren't allowed in the track? They will be, but you will need to subscribe to that. Unfortunately, as far as I know, there's not any live stream out there, but there is the NBC Gold digital channel that is available. So you can subscribe to that through NBCSports.com and watch all of practice commercial-free and see how Townsend, Dillon, and I do on, let's see, that is a 6.5-hour show tomorrow. So I got plans. We got a lot of plans. We're going to let it breathe a little bit a couple of times as well. I will say this. So we have I've reached out to Andretti Autosport to ask for some access. You remember in the Fernando Alonso test how we did some eavesdropping in the debriefs? We're probably going to let them know that we're there this time around, you know, so they won't give away the super sensitive secrets, but we'll still get some good intel out of that. But we're going to put a boom mic over some of the debriefs with some of the Andretti Autosport drivers. And I think if we can find the right plug, we're going to plug in to that intercom system that they have that is normally blocked off the radio scanners. You know, when they park in pit lane, we can no longer hear them on the scanners because it is a direct channel. But a couple of times a day, we're going to plug in and listen to the immediate conversation while a driver's sitting in the pit stall. And we might even sit in one of the end of or pre-day engineering meetings on Thursday. So it's, you know, kind of fluid at this point, but Andretti Autosport has given us some access for fans that aren't able to be at the track. So that's one of the things you can see on NBC Sports Gold coming up tomorrow morning. Other questions, some for Donald that I'll save for the next hour, from LCE LK is God says finally some, well, not good, but not bad news. He was just responding to the Twitter promo for today, announcing tonight's show. Jason Hoover, J Hoover 99, any specific reason why we lost the 5 to 6 p.m. hour for qualifying on Saturday? I know the last few years, the Saturday qualifying went to 6, okay, 5:50 for TV. What changed for this year?
I don't know the answer to that. I wondered that myself, and I should have asked that today because I was curious myself why it stops at 4:50. In fact, you might want to make note again that a lot of people, who was it last year, was surprised that it ended at 5:50. Well, it'll be 4:50 this time. So I'll get an answer. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
It was my broadcast coworker Hinch 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Hinch.
So the team knew that, although I think I remember hearing some chatter on the scanners either last year or the year before, though, that there was some confusion. I suspect the person that needed to know in all of these teams knew, but yeah, there was a little confusion whether it ended at the top of the hour or at 50. And I'm looking at a schedule and it does say 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, it's 4:50.
We need to get that for, okay. It's, I think our airtime ends at 5 o'clock. So 4:50. So my first guess would be it's because we've got something on and there's a lot of stuff that they're trying to cram in together, you know, with NASCAR going on this weekend and NHL playoffs and sometimes golf events and so many other things. So it could be that. Or it could just be that this certain environment is minimalist. And as these plans have been presented to the health authorities, I think every organization has tried to show, no, we're minimizing what we normally do. So I can't rule that out as a possibility as well. No, we normally go this long and we're going to cut it back a little bit. We're cutting a day off practice. We're cutting it down by an hour each day. Or maybe it's just been decided, we can get all this done. We're only going to have 33 cars. We really don't need to be out there for 6 hours. 5 hours is plenty, and we'll get everybody home a little bit earlier and come back. And it might just be a combination of all of those factors came into play for what we're going to see this coming weekend. Let's see. At Kevin Lee 23, Patrick Hagan says, really confused as to why NBC is still hiding practice behind a paywall at this point. So I know I work for the company, so you may not want to hear what I have to say, but essentially we're running a business here. This is what it is. I would love not to have to pay YouTube TV $65 a month. Should I go on Twitter and ask them to give that product away for free? This is business. This is supply and demand, and I wish it was free. I wish everything was free. Well, maybe I don't, because that'd be a different type of society if we want to go down that path. And, you know, this reminds me, Kurt, do you remember 10, 15 years ago when the debate first got out there about why aren't all the practice sessions and qualifying sessions available on IndyCar.com? If the cameras are up, for a while, they weren't being shown. And, you know, my perspective then was as a guy on the radio thinking, why would they block this? And the reason they did for a while, and I think had some internal debate about whether to release this, was, well, at some point, we may want to try to sell this. And if you give it away for free, it becomes harder to sell it in the future. So that was the conundrum back then. Ultimately, they decided to allow it for free. And then when you get a new television partner and the world changes a little bit, it becomes, you know what? There is an opportunity to monetize this a little bit and get some of the rights fees that are going to the teams and the series back. So right or wrong, that's what it is, though. People expect to get paid for services that they deliver.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the ways that the broadcast partner, when it negotiated the contract, was able to recoup some of the money. So, you know, there's pay per views and all kinds of sports. You're still getting a lot of over the air broadcast on NBC and NBCSN, and this is just one of the ways that they negotiated back in.
Jameson says, thoughts on Montoya's IndyCar and Indy 500 prospects after Penske Acura program is finished. So at the end of the year, basically all the Penske sports car drivers have been told you are free to pursue other entities. I think Dane Cameron and Ricky Taylor are probably employed by HPD, and they may go where the Acura program goes. And it's possible that Montoya and Elio are hired by that program, but they are free agents. I don't know how much Juan wants to. I do know he still wants to drive. I've had conversations with him this year that he's not ready to quit driving at the end of the year. So I do think it's possible that he comes back for a one-off at the Indy 500 next year.
I think so, too. I think we could see both of them, Elio and Juan, in cars next year at the 500. Elio, a better odds, because I think, for lack of a better way of saying it, I think Montoya is choosier at this point in his life than Elio is. But I think we could see both of them.
And I think Elio probably has a team, probably has a better chance of finding sponsorship, because Elio is just a great commercial spokesman. And Juan is fine, but, you know, he's not the bully type of guy that is your out front and center, shaking hands, posing for, he'll do it. And he's fine. He's a very pleasant guy. I like Juan Pablo Montoya a lot, but Elio is rare. He is why we say, you know, the faces of the series, even at this point, when he's still doing one race per year, and he has the better chance of doing the entire season, I think, Juan Pablo, who is really focused on his son's career, is running F4 in Europe, and he's doing some coaching and still has plenty of other things to keep him busy at this point. If I want to sneak in any others. You know, what I want to do here before I read the Twitter, I saw this from Adam Stern this afternoon with a couple of nuggets about Formula One. And he wrote that IMS and Formula One share a level of mutual interest to bring the global series back to the Speedway as possibly as soon as 2022 per Mark Miles. It's something, Mark, when we get past the Indy 500, we'll turn our attention back to exploring. So I don't know what it will cost, but I also think the dynamics have changed from 5 years ago. I think Liberty would like to add a second Formula One race in America. And I've said for several years now that if they really want to add another race, this is the plug and play option. This is their best option. And they may need it for a first race. I don't know where things stand with Circuit of the Americas. I think it's better. I think you'd already left the show the other night when I mentioned that they did get their $27 million last year from the state of Texas. So that's why the place hasn't been shuttered, because it would have been shut down if they didn't receive that money. So I still give them a chance of continuing, but it's always just a little bit perilous. So I love seeing Indianapolis host every world-class series they can. I'm all for it.
I agree. It'd be very cool to see F1 back again. While I've got you right here, how about, just I'm changing the subject, but Max Chilton's helmet for the Indy 500 might be the coolest thing I've ever seen. And Renus VK's is pretty cool as well. It's a salute to Ari Leyendyke. Chilton's helmet's got BorgWarner trophy replica all over it. It's beautiful helmet.
You know, there's mixed opinions on that. Some think that the helmet should really never change. It's a driver's brand. I understand the way the drivers are doing that. It's a chance to be unique and do something different for special events. You know, I think the best of both worlds is that you have a color or something that stays with you for throughout your career that's identifiable, and then maybe you change some other aspects of it. But we've seen all the reveals. Ed Carpenter's helmet that I saw on social media today looked really, really cool. And that's what's fun out of the opening day tomorrow, is to kind of get a look at that. One last scheduling note is that Adam Stern of Sports Business Journal also gave a little bit of update about the potential street race in Nashville. Great city, great host for IndyCar, Mark Miles said, on trying to land a race for 2021. He acknowledged ongoing talks and said, part of my screenshot got cut out, but said if it works for them and fits for us, it would be something we could possibly do. So stand by for more news on that. On the track, what are we watching for tomorrow?
Well, you want to see if the Andretti cars toward the end of the day start to rise toward the top. They have struggled in this 2020 season. That's one of the things I'll be interested to see. I'll be interested to see how the progression of Fernando Alonso goes. But largely, tomorrow will be kind of a get feel for the event kind of day. And I think you'll see. And that's because veterans will have from 11 to 1 and then from 3 to 5:30, the rookie orientation program for the five rookies and the guys in the refresher program, which is everybody who hasn't been in a car since last Indy 500. They'll be on the track from 1 until 3. That's guys like Hanley, Fernando, Hildebrand, and a few others. But largely, I think Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, we're going to see a lot of emphasis on race conditions because qualifying, while it is important, it will not be the be-all, end-all when you're going to make the field just by qualifying. So I think it'll be an interesting day tomorrow, but I don't know that it'll be a definition day tomorrow like we might see on Thursday and Friday.
I think, though, it will be extremely busy, pressure-packed, and critical because there's a chance of rain every day this week. So if it's dry, anytime it's dry, and there's a chance of rain the next day, teams are going to want to get after it. There's not going to be this run a few laps, go back, sit in the garage for an hour and a half. They are going to try to get things done tomorrow. And you're right, since everyone makes the race, then they're going to focus on race running, getting a good race car. And when we get to Friday, those that think they have a chance to get in the fast nine will really work on speed. Even on Friday, I think some teams will really focus still on dialing in the race car because we have a little less practice time than normally. No Monday running this time. There is a session after qualifying ends on Sunday afternoon to get going. And then an extended carb day with a two-hour practice session. So we'll go over all these stories tomorrow in the time that we have on NBC Gold and on our show tomorrow night. I'll give you details of our schedule and some notes on Fernando Alonso, what we learned about him today, coming up in a moment. Kurt, you're dismissed. We need to make room on your line for Donald, who's coming up in a little bit. I'll see you at the track and wave to you from a distance sometime tomorrow.
I don't think I've seen you since St. Pete, so.
Probably not. Probably not.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you there. Yep, and we're back tomorrow night. We'll give you times on the rest of our week in just a moment. And more, Trackside 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.
This is Ed Carpenter, and you're listening to Trackside with Kurt Cavan and Kevin Lee on 1070 The Fan.
Just looking through Twitter and reminded of something I heard on our NBC conference call today, that James Hinchcliffe is going to be a guest with Dale Jr.'s Download that's going to air on NBCSN coming up on Saturday, I think after the Xfinity race. This is going to be a cool weekend. Not only Indy 500 qualifying, you are going to need to check your local listings to see what channel and so forth everything is on. But there's road course racing at Daytona with stock cars for Xfinity and Cup racing. The Spire team that bought a charter in NASCAR, they represent James Hinchcliffe. And I know he's, and I'm not telling you something that James said to us today. This is just common knowledge. I have no insight, but they represent Hinch, and he has poked around looking for one-off road course racing in NASCAR before. So I wonder if this will help his opportunities moving forward on that front. Our buddy R.C. Enerson, we had on the other day, did a really nice job at Road America on Saturday afternoon. He raced up to 10th by the end of the first stage. Remember, he had never driven a stock car anywhere, and he hadn't driven anything at Road America, I don't think, either. Certainly not a high-level car, so he did a good job. I think he might have gotten caught up in something late because he was running 12th and then was kind of slipping back at the end, and I think he finished 20th or so. James Davison had mechanical issues in both of the Cup races over the weekend, but he's going to be busy running the Indy 500 and then also the Road Course Cup race at Daytona and the Oval race at Daytona the following week. Here's our schedule for the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, we're on after the Pacers again and a Colts update, so we won't get started until about 7:50 with a 40-minute show, but if you have NBC Gold, you will have heard enough of me throughout the day from 11 until 5:30-ish tomorrow with Townsend Bell and Dylan Welch. Donna will be on tomorrow night at 8:30 again. Thursday night, normal hour, 7 o'clock trackside, 8 o'clock talk at Gasoline Alley. And then Friday, the Pacers game with Miami has been set for 4 p.m., and then the Colts happy hour will air after that. So we'll start trackside at 8:30 on Friday night. And get a nap for Donald's show, 9:30 to 10:30 for the talk of Gasoline Alley on Friday night. And then there's coverage here from IMS all weekend here. Thanks to Brad Huber. For Kurt, I'm Kevin. Call in now to talk to Donald, 317-239-1070. The talk of Gasoline Alley is next.